And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com. I am, of course, as always, your host, Alan, here for this free show. So if you're a first-time listener, if you're not a regular listener, welcome. Welcome to all the regulars, too. And welcome. Oh, yes, welcome to the man that started it all. The tree that spawned the branch that is me. Dr. Keith Lipinski.
Wow.
I swear, that was on the spot, buddy. On the spot.
You can't rehearse something that good, Alan. Not at all.
When you're good, you're good. Oh, what can I say?
Absolutely. This is why you got the role right here, you know? It wasn't because Naylor went to the WWE. It's because of fun lines like that. So, Alan, thank you very much for letting me come on your show this week. I really appreciate it. It's good talking to you, buddy. It's been way, 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 way. Insert 28 ways here, and you'll get how long it's been since you and I sat down and talked professional wrestling.
Well, I'm looking forward to doing it once again. And Keith, we have several reasons why we've convened here for this discussion. You're quite the man of the moment right now because you've got a big weekend coming up. You've got a big weekend in the rearview mirror. And we even got stuff happening during this midweek that we want to talk about. But let's start with the promotion nearest and dearest to your heart, the promotion you will be most involved with this coming weekend, AAW, a huge show. Pentagon Jr. is in. Phoenix is in. It's a big one. I've been watching a lot of AAW recently. I have a lot of thoughts on the product. But first, get it out there, all the plugs for this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Alan, without a doubt, the biggest show, and I know you're used to hearing this wrestling cliche, in AAW history happens this Friday night at 115 Bourbon Street in beautiful Marionette Park. We have close to 600 tickets sold. We beat, finally, the AAW attendance record, which was held on a show where the major attraction was Dustin Diamond, better known to you and I as Screech. So this is going to be, without a doubt, just a big, huge show. The main event, it was something that was supposed to main event our last show, our 12th anniversary show, Epic. The main event, we'll see the AAW heavyweight champion, Sami Callihan, defending the belt against the Psycho Killer, Tommaso Ciampa. And I'm really excited and really looking forward to this match. These guys have had some fun encounters in their time over the last few AAW shows, and this I'm really looking forward to finally them both getting in the ring right now and basically laying it all out. Also, semi-main event, a match that's been in the making since our big Windy City Classic last November, Pentagon Jr. versus Phoenix. Another match I'm incredibly excited for. This whole card, I look up and down this card, and I'm just filled with glee. I mean, it definitely proves that, you know, I think AEW right now is on a roll, as it were, but I think really we're pulling out all the stops for the show. We have a hot three times, six-man tag with Colt Cabana, Chuck Taylor, and Dan Barry, officer and a gentleman and a professional wrestler, versus the Hooligans and Bucky Collins, who I think, without a doubt, is the most underrated talent in the Midwest Indies today. Candice LeRae versus Jessica Havoc. Juice Robinson, I know a guy you're very familiar with, goes one-on-one with Michael Elgin. I mean, this show is just stacked. We recently announced for the AAW Tag Team Champions, the new Tag Team Champions, Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett, are going to be facing Moose and the AAW Heritage Champion, A.R. Fox. So we are.
Holy shit.
Yes. I had not seen that match. We just announced this a few days ago. So that's probably the reason why, you know, probably.
I'm going to talk a lot about Matt Fitchett as we go here.
Let's talk about him right now, because I think Matt Fitchett, without a doubt, is one of the key cornerstones of AAW's quality this year. I mean, the match that he had with Drew Gulak at our March homecoming show, which is available on smartmarkvideo.com, I think it's one of my
incredible
top five matches of the year. I mean, just it's
so good. Take it from me, everyone. If you think Keith's just doing the hard sell, trust me, he is not. This match is that good. If Keith was involved with this promotion or not, I guarantee you he'd be all about this match. I am all about this match. If you see it, you will be all about this match.
It is one of the most fun moments of professional wrestling in 2016. I mean, it was a match that went out there and just you don't really realize how great wrestling can be when you get someone that's such a submission specialist as Drew Gulak versus someone very flexible like Matt Fitchett. It sort of reminded me of the old Samoa Joe, Jack Evans matches.
Yeah, but even the Brian Danielson, Jack Evans is the one I was thinking of.
Even more bendy than those. So, like, it was just watching it live, I was just, I'm sitting there holding a camera, Alan, trying to film parts of this and not sitting there trying to do the Alan face, be all happy, arms up in the air, just like it was one of those moments where I had forgotten that I actually had a camera on me while I was shooting parts of this match, just because
I was doing the arms up in the air, Keith, and all that, and I was pumping my fist, and I was sitting on an airplane on the way back from Japan as I was watching this match on the little dinner tray with my laptop out. I was freaking out. It was so good. The way that Fitchett just gets bent like a pretzel, Gulak just inventing ways to torture this guy, and then Fitchett, who is a guy who has been impressing me with his athleticism, his explosiveness, his technique. He's a really good flyer, really good striker. But here it was all about his selling and his determination and his fire. And he was digging the claws in. And no matter how much Gulak punished him, he had just said to himself, no, I'm not losing this match. I'm not. I'm winning this match. No matter how much I have to suffer, I'm going to get an opportunity. There's going to be a crack in the window that I'm going to jump through, and I'm going to take my opportunity. And that's exactly what he ends up doing. And it's a huge, huge ovation when he wins the match. I think it brought him to a new level within AAW. Of course, on the last show, Epic, him and Davey Vega, they won the tag titles in another awesome match against the Hooligans, mm-hmm. who I also wanted to talk about as a super underrated team. But Fitchett is everyone's going to know about Fitchett. He's going to be everywhere in like 6 months. But right now, where you need to see him is AEW, because that's where he's breaking out.
I mean, it's something where he's been in AEW on and off for a while, Alan, but this is finally where...
He's had injuries and stuff, right?
Injuries have definitely... Injuries and personal life, i.e., you know, regular jobs and such, have sort of made it hard at times for him to come, but he's dedicated and loyal, and I think him and Vega, when they won the tag belts last month at Epic, it was an incredibly nice title change. And what I mean by that was it was sort of a feel good. Some people definitely don't like Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett as a unit and want to boo them. But everyone, when they won the belts, were just like, yay, title change. You know, it was like a rah rah, sis boom ba, fun moment of pro wrestling love. And I hope Matt Fitchett is everywhere in 6 months. I hope Davey Vega is everywhere in 6 months, because we are giving them big time matches against guys that are out there and have made their name. And it's Matt Fitchett is one of those guys. And Drew Gulak also. I can't really emphasize how much I enjoy Drew Gulak.
Gulak is really improving as far as his all-round game in the ring, what he brings to the table. Mm-hmm. He's really turning, and I say this with knowing the height of this statement, he's really turning into that early to mid 2000s Brian Danielson, where he's just, I would say, like 2004-2005 Danielson, right before the title reign, where he's just so sure of himself, sure of his abilities. And I really think in a year, if Drew Gulak, if he gets the opportunities, he could be one of the really elite handful of guys on the indie scene. He's really stepping up lately, I've felt.
I think he got there over the last 6 months, Alan. Like, between his appearances in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and, you know, just also...
Oh, man, the Timothy Thatcher match in PWG, so good.
Yes, agreed. Like, those kind of things have really made Drew really stand out. And even, like, he's so good at many different things. I mean, if you look at the Amazing Gulaks in CZW, it's very different to what he does in other places as well. You know, like I really enjoy Drew, and whenever he's just a delightful, he's a delightful fellow, and I can't say enough good things about him. And him and Matt Fitchett, I thought, had one of the best matches of the year. And I remember Drew coming up to me before the match, sitting there saying, well, am I a heel or face? And I'm like, you are the fucking professional wrestler here, you know? And like, I think he took that to the extreme, and it made it even better, because he was just, his job in that match was to tie Fitchett up in knots and keep on working on the submissions. And it was just, it was a magical moment of pro wrestling that was held at AEW that can be found at smartmarkvideo.com. But, you know, you speak of Timothy Thatcher, him and Zack Sabre getting a little bit of a more international flavor. They worked our last show, the huge epic sold out show from the beautiful Logan Square Auditorium last month. As good as Thatcher's match was with Silas Young, the measuring stick here at AEW, and as good as Tommaso Ciampa versus Zack Sabre Jr. was, the match of that show was Chris Hero versus Trevor Lee. I realize this is a match that had been done, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Evolve, and all up and down this place, but there was just something about this match where it was the second show in a row where I thought that we had a definitive match of the year contender on the show. Like something where you look outside the world of independent pro wrestling and look throughout the entire world of pro wrestling, and this match should be included in there.
I watched this match on Monday, Keith, and I can say comfortably, in my opinion, there has not been a better match in America this year. It was that good, and it was better than their previous matches. It was the name of the show was very apt for this match. It was epic. They went over and above the point you thought they would go in this match, and then they went even further. And then they went even further than that, and it just kept escalating, and the crowd kept getting more and more with it. And the commentators, Dave Prazak and Phil Colvin, who may have had a few too many that night, but they were getting more and more into it. It was some scene, and you could tell from Hero's promo after the match that he knew it was one of. And Hero is a guy who he is having great matches every weekend, and like the list of Chris Hero great matches in the last year is just as long as your arm. And you could tell this was a special one to him based on the reaction he gave it after the match. And Trevor Lee even looking quite emotional at the end of it. It was pretty special. And before we get into too much of your thoughts on that match, I just want to ask about the venue, Logan Square, which I think is one of my favorite venues going right now. It's such an awesome place to watch wrestling on tape. And it looks like an awesome place to watch wrestling live as well. But what I found interesting is earlier you mentioned that the show this weekend is setting the record for tickets sold. I was shocked to hear that, because for me, just looking at it on tape, the Logan Square building looks like by far your guys' biggest building. So I would have assumed that was the one that was maybe that one or Windy City Classic would have been the record holder. But as you said, it's this weekend coming is even bigger.
Well, 150. Bourbon Street is an enormous building. It's an entertainment complex, if you will, not to be confused with the Rex Plus of old ROH days. Basically, inside 115 Bourbon Street, Allen, there's a huge country western bar, including a full stage, another bar, an outside patio area, a VIP lounge, you name it, that this place has it. So technically, we can actually fit more people in the space, but it definitely doesn't have the comfort and atmosphere of the Logan Square Auditorium. However, 115 Bourbon Street has been a fantastic venue for it, and each show does get better and better. So I'm always excited to go down to beautiful Marionette Park at 115 Bourbon Street and party with the stars of AAW, Allen.
Yeah, it's I really have to say I like all three of the venues you guys run. The traditional
Berwyn Eagles Club.
Oh, what? Berwyn Eagles Club. Yeah, the Chimmer Run as well. That just kind of reminds me of like a lot of the. It just kind of has the feel of like 2006-2007 ROH show. Do you know? I don't know. It's whatever way you guys shoot it in there. It just kind of feels very old school ROH-y to me.
Probably because we're using their cameras. Not kidding.
Maybe it's that. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, the other buildings are both just really awesome as well. So it's cool that you guys have three unique, different but also all really good venues to use in Chicago. Are they all quite near each other, or would they be slightly different markets?
We're spreading ourselves out over the greater Chicagoland territory. Like Logan Square is in a part of Chicago called Logan Square, obviously, which is maybe about 15 to 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Berwyn is in the western suburbs, which is maybe a half hour away. And Marionette Park maybe is a half hour to 45 minutes south of downtown Chicago. So, you know, given traffic on a Friday night, Alan, you could see why we start our shows usually around 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, just because we want to make sure that everyone's there, especially with the record advance that we have for this weekend's Take No Prisoner show. So, but...
Well... This weekend show is main evented, as you mentioned, by Sami Callihan versus Tommaso Ciampa, and I think that's been built up really well this year.
Can I tell you a little story here?
So you surely can.
I got two parts of the story to tell you. So back at Homecoming, where we're the last time that Sami and Tommaso were in the same building. So anyway, we, you know, of course, we sold out Berwyn, so we wanted to make sure that all, you know, everyone could come into the building. So what we told the boys was, you have to sell your merchandise PWG style, which is around the apron of the ring, like before the show, after the show, and during intermission. So intermission comes, Sami gets out there with his box of merchandise, Tommaso comes up with his suitcase full of merchandise, and they basically ended up running right into one another. And they basically started fighting in front of everyone. This was not planned. It was sort of a, they just looked up at each other and just started going at it. So
that, you know, is awesome.
So let's just say it this way. It was amazing. It was outstanding. And then at the end of the show where, you know, Tommaso's music played and he came from the back, which seemed to take like a long time when we were there, but on videotape or DVD or Blu-ray or MP4, looks pretty awesome. So I'm really looking forward to these two guys. Tommaso Ciampa, Sami Callihan represent what I like to think of as sort of the heart of AAW, where they might work multiple places, but it seems that they are head, you know, as far as you can be. They love AAW. Sami has taken the belt, defended it, you know, in Europe a few times, you know, and these guys are someone where they love working for us and love giving us ideas. And we're just happy to have these guys there. And I think they're going to have an incredible match this Friday night at 115 Bourbon Street. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. I think Sami, since coming back to the Indies and showing up unannounced at the Windy City Classic and surprising everyone, I think Sami has had some memorable spit-filled matches. And I think this one will be another one of those.
Keith, you need to introduce a fining system. Have a word with Danny Daniels. Introduce a fining system for the spitting.
Oh, man. It's ridiculous.
Public warnings.
It's ridiculous how much he spits. I don't know what to do. I can't really criticize the man. I mean, just sometimes you just get so into it. I mean, as a runner, I spit a lot too. But like, it's different when you're sort of in the ring, I guess. I don't know. But don't let this.
Now I was gonna speak on Ciampa and how well he's been built up as the challenger, and most recently at Logan Square at Epic. Following the Trevor Lee, Chris Hero, awesome, awesome match that we talked about, Tommaso Ciampa had to go into the main event with a man he's very familiar with, a man making his AEW debut, a man who he had had two big battles with in Progress over in the UK. And that, of course, is Zack Sabre Jr. And I would put this match that they had in the main event of Epic right up there with their two Progress matches. This was really great stuff. It went just back and forth. For Keith, do you have the time of this match? It felt like it nearly went half an hour. These guys were going at it for quite a while.
The match went around 29 minutes, Alan. So
there you go. Yeah, and it just flowed from Zach to Ciampa, back to Zach, back to Ciampa.
It was hot and heavy, and it was interesting to see, because, you know, we were sort of concerned about how a you know, like it's okay to have a match with Drew Gulak on it, where it's someone that's going to be pro wrestling, lots of holds. But then when you bring in the grapple fuck nature of a Timothy Thatcher, who, by the way, is an incredibly nice and engaging man, and I would love to see
him. Oh, he's the best.
On every single show nice. I ever run for the end of time. Just such a
Isn't
nice
he the
life.
Politest man in
oh,
the world?
Oh, my goodness. So polite. Both him and Zack Sabre Jr., I can give them big hugs, stretching from beautiful Park Ridge, Illinois, all the way to, well, in one case, the UK, the other case, the Sacramento. But no, just super nice guys. But You know, when, you know, Tommaso and Zach was announced, I mean, keep in mind, you know, that was something that we announced because of the issues that we had. You know, we originally had Sammy Callahan versus Tommaso Ciampa, but then Sammy had to duck out to do his contract with Lucha Underground, which we understand. We get it. It happens. And if it wasn't for Lucha Underground, that show probably would have had more Lucha Underground talent on it, because we were originally, it was our return to Logan Square, and we wanted, of course, to do Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. there to go off of what we had, you know, back in November. But when Lucha Underground guys weren't available, that's when we looked outside the box and we wanted to invite some of our friends from Europe. And I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. is a rare talent and someone that I wanted to get in AAW and get in the AAW ring. And we're on such a wave right now where I can sit there and suggest guys, and it's not out of the reality to get those guys to work the show, which is an incredible feeling, you know? You know, it was originally, I think, originally we were thinking we were doing Timothy Thatcher versus Zack Sabre Jr., and then Sammy pulls out, we get Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle has car issues, so we changed the card on the day, we changed the show on the day of, but yet no one seemed to mind, and it was fantastic. It really helps when you deal with these trials and tribulations of, you know, running shows and getting guys and dealing with transportation issues, multiple contracts. And in the end, you could sit there and say, wow, not only did we have a really good show, we had a fantastic show.
Silas did a hell of a job with Thatcher.
Oh, goodness.
I didn't know how, on paper, I was like, I wouldn't have been sure how that would mesh up. And when the match was starting, I was kind of like, okay, let's see how this goes now. I'm unsure about this. But they clicked really well, and I thought it was one of my favorite Silas performances of his career, honestly. I thought he was really good in there, and I'm a big fan of his. So I was very happy with that match. And getting back to the main, just crazy stuff, especially the last few minutes. The finish of the match is just so awesome, so creative, so spur of the moment, spontaneous, and just fantastic.
People
and
need to see this, Alan.
Yeah, they do. This show, I could not recommend it more. Between the tag title match, the main event, the hero match, the Silas Young Thatcher match, it's just so, so good. And
even the women's match, which went, I think, 6 or 7 minutes with, you know, Candice LeRae, Heidi Lovelace, Jessica Havoc, and Kimberly, a match that went 7 minutes, it was probably one of the best women's matches in AEW history. I mean, this was...
Was that the opener, or am I forgetting?
That was the opener, my friend. That was the opener. And that one was solid. Congo Kong doing double duty. I mean, it was an epic show, pun intended here. And it's definitely something I think everyone needs to check out at smartmarkvideo.com. And definitely check that out. Check out, you know, if you want to see old school AAW, definitely check out AAW On Demand, which you can watch, you know, the courtesy of your own home or laptop or Roku app. You can watch the majority of the shows that we have. And I think we're going to be adding content from the first two shows of 2016 shortly. So it's definitely something for newer fans to check out. Because AAW, I like to think of us being in the Midwest, we're allowed to get talent from all over. And I think we do a pretty good job of picking and choosing talent and people for shows. Because right now we got guys like Congo Kong, who I think is going to be another breakout guy this year, just because he's just incredibly versatile and just has a wonderful look. I mean, it's someone that I could hold up a picture to my son and my son could be scared, you know, because of the makeup. There's so much Silas Young. Whenever, if ROH isn't running, Silas Young has been a the mainstay of AAW for so long, former heavyweight champion. The guy has done it all in the company. So we have such a wonderful mix of guys, and just, you know, I'm looking at the talent list that we have for next month, which we haven't even announced yet. And we have, Let's see. I got a debut here. I got three debuts that I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised and very happy about, and returning guys that are out there. Guys like, you know, Trevor Lee, guys like Chris Hero, guys basically who are in the forefront of independent wrestling today, Alan, and they're coming to AEW. Chris Hero, without a doubt, I think Chris Hero, you can put him in the ring with anyone right now and you will get a good match. Like, he is just so amazing at what he does. No one, if you're looking for an MVP of independent wrestling, it's that guy right there. Trevor Lee, so young and so good right now. You know, there's a reason I look at our show, the epic show that we've been ranting about, that we were full of pro wrestling love about. And here's a show where we had the Evolved champion. We also had the TNA X Division champion and the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla world champion all on the show. And including, you know, our of course, our champion couldn't be there, but that's besides the point, Alan.
Oh, I left myself on mute.
Well, that's good.
Rookie mistake.
You know what? Once you get start doing the show for like, you know, wait, you haven't, it's almost 7 years you've been doing the show now, Alan.
It'll be six and a half years.
Goodness, you know. Have you ever thought about calling it the Alan Cunahan Power Hour?
I think Zach Arnold has a trademark on Power Hour.
What do you mean I have a trademark on Power Hour? Sorry, maybe three people will get that.
Where is Zach? When was the last time you heard from Zach?
It's been a long time. Like, I think even when Misawa passed, I didn't really necessarily chat with him. So it's been a while, you know? Like, you know.
You bet that bum Semper Vivi.
Oh, fuck him. What's he up to? Does he do anything now? I'm kidding.
He's definitely not doing any radio shows.
He's definitely not. He retired from doing radio. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? No, Semper Vivi and I text every once in a while. I usually share the shows with him so he can not watch them. I talked to Mike. Mike's a busy guy. He's got, you know, all that awesome audio he does. And that wasn't me being sarcastic. Like, I'm very happy with Mike and his position on doing all this audio stuff. You know, like,
I was listening to Adam and Mike on my lunch break today.
Oh, I enjoyed, they did like that, the Adam and Mike anniversary show. And I enjoyed the crap out of that because it wasn't them talking about wrestling and only a little hockey talk. So, you know.
They were talking women's hockey today, Keith. Women's hockey.
Just wait until they find out the wonderful sport of lacrosse, what it'll be like then. So, but yeah.
Keith, let's talk something else now. Something that you attended last weekend. Now, we talked about the AEW show title epic, but for one young man, the WWE pay-per-view show, at this point in his life, was probably about as epic as it gets.
Oh, yes.
Would I be right in saying? Tell everyone the story about El Hijo del Dr. Keith's first ever WWE pay-per-view experience.
Okay, so since this is a free show, I have to give some background. My name is Keith Lipinski. I used to host a show called the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. In the probably the fall of 2008, my wife and I decided that we were going to have the sex and make a child. And when that baby was born, I realized that I could no longer host my radio program, the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. So I offered it to Mike Sempervivi. He said he was retired. No, I'm kidding. I offered it, of course, to the good Alan right here, who has taken better care of it than I've ever taken care of anything that anyone has ever given me. So thank you, Alan, for doing that. So
it's my pleasure, Keith.
So anyway, let's fast forward six years and, you know, 6.34 years. And I have a 6-year-old son by the name of Gavin. And Gavin, Gavin's a fun kid. I'm very happy about how fun he is. Don't get me wrong. Does he get way emotional sometimes about things where I don't get emotional about it? Possibly, you know. But, you know, it's something where maybe 6 months ago, he was telling me how much he liked John Cena. And that was surprising to me because, you know, this is my fucking house. But more importantly, what surprised me about it was, how does Gavin know John Cena? Because, like, you know, I do watch wrestling around the house, but it's usually when he goes to bed and I'm in my little wrestling padded room. No, I'm kidding. You know, like I wasn't sure of when he watched it, but you know, I was like, wow, kids actually know about this stuff. And then he, you know, he sort of learned about Dr. Keith through friends of his who, you know, he's like, a friend of mine in fifth grade knows you're on Instagram under, you know, Keith Lipinski. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like that the younger generation knows about this. And he knows that, you know, I have AAW commitments and I work with a bunch of wrestling companies. And he knows that Daddy does something in wrestling. So a few months ago, he's like, Daddy, can we go to a wrestling show? And I was like, ooh, like I was torn because yes, of course I want to take you to a wrestling show. But the problem is whenever we've taken him to proper sport, Alan, like baseball games or hockey games, he seems to get bored very quickly. And you know,
that's the generation, Keith.
Oh, it definitely is. But it's something where it's like, you know, like maybe four innings into it, like he'll be like, Daddy, can I have your phone? And this is a kid that plays baseball. Like, you know, like he plays both baseball and soccer. So it's like he doesn't like to watch them. But,
oh my God, you're describing, sorry for the tangent, but you're describing my girlfriend's nephew, like, exactly. He plays all kinds of sports, but, like, whenever they brought him up to Dublin for an Ireland international soccer game in the big stadium, his first ever big soccer game in the big stadium, like, 10 minutes in, wanted to leave, just bored, wanted to go home, no interest. And we're taking the same child to Rev Pro in July to see Ishii and Shibata. And I've already laid down the ground. I was like, I'm more than happy to take him. I'm looking forward to it. It will be awesome. But we are watching that whole show. We are staying until the end.
Well,
there will be no leaving early.
Well, like my thing was the fact that, you know, what clinched it for me was two things. Number one, the chance to see, you know, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. Like that alone was like, okay, I'm interested in going to this damn show now. The other thing is a friend of mine had gotten some tickets through a vendor of his, the fine people at USA Network, home of Christy Knows Best. And so because of the fact I was offered free tickets, I was like, as long as I see Owens versus Zayn, I will be fine. Like, I'll sit there, see how Gavin can react to being in a wrestling show, and plus, I won't pay any money for this. Like this is the dream right here, Alan. So, you know, it was, we got the tickets, and, you know, I showed him some of the videos of, you know, Zayn and Owens' stuff, and including that really good WWE-produced video about their stuff. And he was like, Daddy, why are they fighting? You know, he was generally concerned because they were good friends. They, you know, one of them's body was in a shark. Like, this is something that, you know, Gavin had a lot of questions about. So we went to the show, and I can honestly say that he did not once ask me for my cell phone or say that he was bored. Now, keep in mind, during the boring portion of the show, he was consuming the American ice cream treat known as Dippin' Dots. So during the McMahon segment. So that could have something to do with it. But in general, he absolutely loved the show. He is now probably a Kevin Owens fan until he realizes he doesn't like wrestling as much as his dad does.
Yeah, Keith, no one likes wrestling as much as we do. We'll just have to accept
it. I should have thought of it like that. But, you know, we got there and, you know, we got there and the opening match happened and the injury to Cass. And it was like, oh, like as soon as it happened, I knew like just the way it looked, it did not look good at all. And I tried to tell Gavin, I was like, you know, sometimes guys get hurt doing this stuff. And, you know, I give him this big explanation. He's like, Daddy, is he dead? And I'm like, no, I don't think he's dead. I think he's just hurt. Like, I think
you weren't sure though.
I was pretty sure that he was okay, but it wasn't to the point. I was pretty sure that he was still among the living, Alan. Now I wasn't sure if he would be paralyzed or if he would sustain anything else, but you know,
It was scary there for
it was incredibly
20
scary.
Minutes until we got the stuff started trickling through a bit and moving his hands, and then I was like, okay, if hopefully that's, and then you saw that more and more, and it was like, okay, well, all right, that takes away some of the worst fears. And then it was like we got another update a little bit later, which was a little more positive, even again, that he was talking and stuff. So I was like, all right, let's just hope it's nothing there that keeps him out of action for like two super long. So I think it ended up being the best possible result of him
getting checked out of
the
hospital.
Yeah, yeah, like leaving the hospital on his own power that night, shooting selfies outside the hospital.
That's the hospital that's closest to my house. That's the Lutheran General Hospital where my daughter Evelyn was born. So, I know that hospital.
I thought you were going to say closest to your heart because that's where one of your children were born. But you're like, no, closest to my house.
No, closest
where
to my
also
house.
One of my children were born.
I definitely play favorites, Alan. So anyway, like that was an interesting start of the show. And then when, you know, I realized that Owens and Sammy was going to be on second, I was like, whew. I sort of had a sigh of relief because I was like, if Gavin gets bored and we leave, it'll be okay because I'll watch the match that I wanted to see the most, you know? But it was quite the little exhibition of wrestling greatness. Now, was this the best match they've ever had against each other? I don't know, but I thought it was damn fucking good on the biggest stage that they've been on.
Yeah, really good match. You know. Really, really good match. I thought they busted their balls. They worked so hard to turn the crowd around after the depressing start to the show.
Yeah.
Like they were dealt a really bad hand. Like you could probably put any other match in the show in that slot. I don't think they would have been able to do as well as those two guys did. They did an incredible job getting everyone back into it, getting us at home back into it. Like, not just like I was on Twitter as I was watching the show and I could see other people on Twitter where everyone was kind of rising back into it at the same time, and it just really turned into a great match. It's a match I really want to rewatch.
Agreed.
I think it will really even go up in our estimation on rewatch.
Of course, because your pro wrestling enjoyment index after an injury definitely drops down significantly. So, but yeah, it was so much fun. But during it, I was trying to figure out, okay, well, who's going to win here? Because my son is what it was called a crier. At times he will cry over certain things. Thankfully, he only cried once during the show. But like during sporting events, like if his team is losing or he's playing left field or, you know, if something's happening, definitely the waterworks do come out from time to time. So during the match, I'm trying to tell him, you know, well, Gavin, you know, Kevin Owens might not win this match, buddy. And he's like, no, Kevin Owens is going to win because he's the best. Look how big and strong he is. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point.
He likes that bull tattoo.
Yeah. And it's like, and I'm not trying to sit there and have him play favorites. Like, only during one match, he reminded of me when I was a youth where my dad would sit there and say, I'm a fan of the Chicago Bears. And I'd be like, I like the 49ers better. You know, there was only one match, the next match, Cesaro versus The Miz, where he asked me who I was going for, and he went the opposite. For some reason or another, the kid really liked The Miz. I want to think it's because of Maurice. I really, really, really do, you know. But or also was the fact that Miz had a belt with him. You know,
you want a daughter-in-law looking like Maurice in 20 years, Keith?
I wouldn't mind that at all. I just worry about the McMahon.
Pervy old man, Keith.
That's all. You know? Another funny anecdote is when Gavin and I were walking to the show, Gavin saw like two or three rather large gentlemen walking behind us that both had replica titles. And Gavin asked me, Daddy, are those guys wrestling on the show tonight? And I tried to tell him that, no, Gav, that's just, you know, some guys really like having these title belts. And, you know, he was like, Daddy, do you have any? I'm like, no. And like he just looked at me. He's just like, okay, that's fine. So when can we get ice cream? But you're absolutely right. That match, I definitely seemed to bring everything back where, you know, everything went. And kudos to those guys for having that performance, especially after what just happened. You know, like it just was one of those things where you're just like, okay, this happens. Let's get through it and hope for the best. And it definitely, you know, I thought that match was incredibly solid. I thought Miz and Cesaro was very, very good. I'm having big problems during this talking about them and their WWE names. I just want to call them, you know, Generico, Steen, Claudio, and such, you know. Like all...
I get caught on the Steen quite a bit. I suppose it's because of how different the gimmick is, but I like never accidentally say Generico.
Right.
But
because he's retired and down with the orphans in Tijuana.
Absolutely. And Claudio and Cesaro are actually so similar that I think I could probably say Claudio and I wouldn't even catch myself doing it, to be honest.
That's
and
true.
Also, I recorded commentary on like a 20 billion hour best of Claudio Castagnoli comp for WXW earlier this year. So, yeah, I think I did well not to call him Cesaro over the course of that. I wanted to ask you, Keith, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
You're muffling up. Hopefully it'll fix itself out here. But
can you hear me now, Alan?
I hear you good. I hear you. The rest of the show, a mixed bag, I think, to say the least. I want to know what Gavin thought of the old men that were involved in the women's match. I'm sure he had many questions about these old men.
Well, he did ask, why did I keep on going, woo, so much, and why people were standing for Bret Hart. And then after the match, it was sort of explaining to him what Montreal was and then also what CM Punk was, which really I feel that I deserve a Nobel Peace Prize for explaining this much. And my son.
Did you start explaining Montreal and then say, no, you know what, Gavin, wait, when we go home, Meltzer's got the whole thing written up in full detail. It's easier. I just give you that.
I wanted that to be his bedtime story, but I worry that by word 30,000, he would have been fast asleep. So, but yeah, he had seen Sasha Banks on the Titantron earlier on. And at one point the crowd did a We Want Sasha chant and he was all about that. So I don't know, the boy might be crushing on Sasha hard, like his old man, which I'm proud of. So, but it seemed like he was okay during the women's match. During the Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho match, like that match seemed to, you know, like part of it was that, you know, we had a full hour of Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens. So like after that, I think Gavin was hoping that Kevin Owens was going to come out at any point during the show doing one thing or another. So, you know, literally the first hour of that show, I deemed it the Kevin Owens show. And then he was gone for the rest, probably because he had to go take selfies at the Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge. So, but
what did he make of the talking segment with Shane and Stephanie and Vince?
Well, he got confused. The first thing he asked was, is this a match? And I tell them, no, it's just them just chatting about it. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he was eating. I thankfully was smart enough to get the ice cream Dippin' Dots dairy snack Dippin' Dots during the women's match. So I actually missed most of the women's match and luckily got in there just in time for McMahon circle jerk. So it worked out perfect for me personally. But yeah, what a segment. He didn't mind it and such, but it definitely seemed like he was getting a little tired during that. But then I was like, wait, there's only one match left. And I was like, wow, yeah. It was like almost seeing the finish line, Alan. I'm like, we're getting this close. It should be good. The one
and the kids loved the AJ, so I think once he had AJ come out for that main event with the gloves and the t-shirt, and AJ is over with the kids. I know this from talking to Sarah's nephew. It's AJ is popular within his school, definitely.
The other thing you have to think about is kids are very susceptible to a crowd mentality. And whenever Roman Reigns was shown on the screen, people were booing him mercifully. There was plenty of Roman sucks chants and even worse things. There was a fan in the row behind us that had a puppet. And the puppet was one of the only Roman Reigns fans within the building, which I didn't want to ask about the puppet. I'm just, hey, to each their own. This guy, this wrestling fan has a puppet. Yeah, what are we going to do here? Like, it wasn't even that good of a puppet, Alan. It was sort of puzzling. It wasn't as puzzling as the guy dressed up like the Macho Man Randy Savage, who wasn't CM Punk like I earlier thought he was.
Now, the main event, as far as your personal opinion, Keith, I don't know how much you were tending to fatherly duties, how much you had to, you were able to enjoy the match itself. I loved it. I thought they clicked tremendously well. Obviously, the overbooking took a little bit away from the match, but hey, they had their reasons for doing it, and I have no complaints really with what they were doing. It's just I would have rather it not ruin that match, but it didn't ruin that match. Ruin is far too strong a word, because every time there was an interruption, the guys did a tremendous job getting the match right back on track right away, and just the way they gelled with each other right from the start, I thought it was really good stuff, and I'm looking forward to the rematch.
I absolutely enjoyed it greatly, and I enjoyed going to the show because I really like. We had, luckily, I've gone with a buddy of mine that helped me get the tickets, and his two young kids, and his oldest, Dominic, is the same age as Gavin. And Dominic was wearing a Roman Reigns shirt, so I sort of had to watch whatever I wanted to say about Roman during it, but you could just tell that he was sort of like getting a little peeved about what people were saying about Roman, the constant Roman sucks chants, and even worse things that were said by the fans. But Gavin really liked AJ very, very quickly. Like, you know, I think part of it was because of hearing, you know, for 2 hours whenever you saw Roman, Roman sucks. So Gavin was all for AJ Styles. And AJ Styles is such an amazing performer. And it was just, both guys really did a fantastic job in this match. And, you know, Gavin's perspective on it was, he comes to me at practice the next day. Hey, Dad, you know, AJ really won that match, right? And I was like, no, why do you say that? He's like, well, because he won first match, he won the match, and then lost the third match. Really, it's to AJ. And I'm like, good thing. But when the match restarted for the third time, Gavin was just like, stop redoing matches. Like, he was he was not happy. And then when AJ did lose, he was very, very upset, where he was crying. But I tried to tell him that sometimes a match isn't just a match, that it's basically leading up to other matches, that they probably will wrestle again someday. And he felt a little bit better. So, but yeah, overall, it was a fantastic first experience at a wrestling show. And he had a fantastic time. You know, his two favorite guys there were AJ Styles and the Kevin Owens. And he actually wanted to get a Kevin Owens t-shirt, but they did not have children's sizes there. So thankfully something from the WWE Shop Zone should be making its way to the Lipinski Ranch before you know it. So, but yeah, it was a fun show to be with. And I like going to shows as a spectator, because there's so often where I'm at wrestling shows doing a million things, yelling at people, trying to get things across, where it's just nice to sit down, relax, and watch some old pro wrestling. And I think the WWE, with this new era, I think they're really, you know, speaking to fans like me that want to see independent stars of the last 4 or 5 years in the top of the cards and in those main event matches. So for me, really, I think this is a really great time to be a wrestling fan, because it's rewarding the fact that we were wrestling fans for so long and the guys we've seen sort of come up and bloom and develop. So, you know, it's good. It's a good time to be a pro wrestling fan. It's even a better time to be an AEW fan, Alan.
You've given me several great segues onto the next topic there, Keith. I could choose any of them.
Please.
But I'm going to hold them in my holster for a minute here, because I still have one more thing I want to ask about the, not so much about the WWE experience at Payback itself, but for anyone that listened to any part of the great Joe vs. the World week last week, they would have had a great time. But one particular part involved both you and I, Keith. It was the part on, I believe, Thursday of last week, the first of two parts, where Joe talked to an assortment of men about their favorite wrestling match ever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to that, you'll hear me talk about Kenta Kobashi and
I absolutely
Kiyoshi Kikuchi against the Can-Am Express.
Oh, I loved your Kenta Kobashi interaction, by the way. Like, that to me was the highlight of that show.
Well, thank you. I've actually heard a surprisingly huge amount of feedback over that one story than I would have ever expected, which is really cool. But you'll have also heard Dr. Keith talk about his favorite match ever, a match that I knew is a favorite of Dr. Keith, being the Dr. Keith historian that I am. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was a match you attended live. It was the Steiners and the Nasties from 1990 Halloween Havoc. But Keith, I know you weren't quite as young as Gavin when you went to that. My two questions are, how old were you at that? And how many live wrestling shows had you been to before that?
Good questions, Alan. That was Halloween Havoc 1990, correct?
Yeah, I'm thinking you were 13, 14.
Oh, God, you're too kind. It was 1990, so I would have been 16 years of age. So.
Okay, 16. So a good bit older than Gavin.
Yes.
And had you been to many shows before then?
I had been to a few shows here or there. The first wrestling show I ever went to was a WWE house show after WrestleMania 5, where the main event was Savage versus Hogan rematch, but Sherry in Savage's corner. And so that would have been a year or so before. That would have been a year before that. So like 1989. Okay. Was like my first show. But then my parents would, I actually got tickets to the Survivor Series that year through the Chicago Sun-Times, when they actually cared about covering wrestling like they're the Japanese media. And my parents actually dropped us off on Thanksgiving night at the Allstate, myself and my 13-year-old sister. And they met up with us afterwards at the hotel that was next to the now Allstate Arena, then Rosemont Horizon, where I met Bushwhacker Luke and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I got their autographs on a bar napkin as they were sitting there at this very small bar drinking and having all the fans sign it. For some reason or another, I lost the napkin after getting it and getting home. And that's always been a big, huge regret, which as a Dr. Keith historian, Alan, I believe you already knew that.
Of course. So you never went to a show as young as Gavin was.
No,
going to Payback.
Not at all. But it's funny, you know, I mentioned him being a crier and such. You know, I remember crying when Demolition lost the WWE tag team titles to the Brainbusters. And I must have been 15 years old then. And I remember my dad's words of comfort to me when that happened. Keith, go to fucking bed. So there you go. So, you know, like I can't be that way with Gavin right now because, you know, like he gets mocked, you know, like overall, I'm very pleased with my child and his progress. And if this starts his love of pro wrestling, this was a great show to start that at, you know, like because if it was taking him to an AEW show, that'd be different because I don't have time for him during a show. During the course of an AEW show, that is my child. And I treat it accordingly by putting it in timeout and spanking its bottom multiple times.
Well, Keith, you mentioned enjoying taking in shows as a spectator. Segue alert. This weekend, you'll get to do another. Because
yes.
Not only will you have the AEW show, but you will also be in attendance for the ROH Global Wars pay-per-view, where unless there's some ring attendant duty you're doing, which you haven't informed me of, you will be there as a spectator, in the crowd, in the bathroom when there's an injury angle and people are calling for a doctor.
One can only hope, Alan. Yes, I will actually be in the front row of a Ring of Honor show in Chicago Ridge for the first time.
Watch out for Delirious.
I'd better double tuck my shirt in my undies. Yes. I'll be in the front row of an ROH show for the first time in a long time to watch the superstars of New Japan Pro Wrestling invade Ring of Honor again. I'm looking forward to that show because it has Kyle fucking O'Reilly versus Naito. And I cannot say enough good things about Naito at all right now, Alan.
So you mentioned Naito, and I was going to say that this weekend at the ROH show, you will have the pleasure of being in the honor or being in the presence of, for my money, one of the greatest wrestlers of his generation. I am in love with this man today. He is my man. I could just I could just wax poetic about this man. That man is Tomohiro Ishii. Oh. But you mentioned Naito. These two had a match yesterday where if you want to just go on about how great Naito was, I cannot say a damn thing against it because Naito was that great. If this was any other person giving any other performance in the ring with Naito, Naito would have been giving just, like, it would be all praise for Naito.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Ishii put in one of the all-time great performances I've ever seen in that match. Let's talk a little about that match, which we've both seen before we get into this ROH show. Wow. 5 stars. I'm no 5-star fear from me on this one. As it built, I was like, holy shit, this is getting pretty big here. And then it just built and built, and I was like, whoa, what am I watching? And then probably it was a point, maybe a couple minutes after the spot. So they did this leg lock spot.
Yes.
Ishii had taken to his usual approach of just Ishii smash, which was the approach that he had used in the New Japan Cup against Naito, and he came up short. And I think that was even referenced in awesome pre-show video back, or pre-match video back.
With Ishii in some sort of wacky Japanese botanical garden wearing a full-on suit and some fat-ass sunglasses.
Yeah, and there's pictures of Tenryu and Choshu on the screen. It's so great. But anyway, he comes in with the mentality of Ishii smash, but it's not working. Title match, Naito is too tricky. That's not going to work. So Ishii, out of nowhere, completely changes tact and starts going for all this tricky leg work and just starts focusing on Naito's legs. And then it just gets more and more into the leg thing. And then it really builds to a fever pitch. And Ishii, after getting Naito down, looks at the crowd, looks at the camera, fired up, and he does this huge big, I'm going to snap his leg kind of motion into the camera. He gets this leg lock submission on. It's crazy. Ishii is just tying. He's just forcing the leg in different positions. He's switching the submission around. It's just this whole big thing. Those at ringside are going crazy. Evil and Bushi are trying to get into the ring. Okada and Gedo are holding them back. The ref goes down. They get into the ring. And then they do a whole spot with Okada and Gedo getting in there, them clearing house, and it's getting left to the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when this spot was unfolding, I was like, interference. My initial instinct whenever there's interference in a New Japan main event is, I wish this wasn't happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But very quickly with the spot, I realized, okay, this is fucking cool. Okada hit that dropkick. It was all awesome. It got left to just the two guys, and I was like, okay, now this is going to town. And then about 2-3 minutes into that final portion of the match, it hit me that I was watching a match that was at the level of the Tokyo Dome main event this year. It's at the level of Ishii's other 2 5-star matches that he's had since his career rebirth, the Tanahashi match and the Shibata match, both from the 2013 G1. I'm just thinking all kinds of great things about this match. Then they start dropping each other on their heads. I'm freaking out. It's unbelievable. It was such a perfect match. It got an incredible reaction from the crowd. A crowd which, not a hot crowd in Fukuoka.
No.
Traditionally, nor on that night. They were decent. They reacted pretty good to certain things throughout the show. The show was very enjoyable from start to finish. But the level of noise in the main event was completely different to anything. If I can only think, if this was like an Asuma Hall, if this was in the crowd that I was at in an invasion attack, I don't think the roof would still be on Ryogoku. I think the roof of Asuma Hall would be somewhere here in Dublin, because it would have been blown off that far away. But they were awesome, this crowd. They really got behind Ishii. Naito was full on heel.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting full on heel reactions until after the match, where he kind of came across as the coolest, hippest babyface in wrestling, which I'll let you talk about in a minute, Keith. But this fucking Ishii, man, this guy, he has been going 20 years now, and for 15 years he was not on the radar whatsoever. He was the ultimate journeyman, an indie journeyman turned a New Japan lower card journeyman who is there to put people over, always worked hard, always gave you his most effort. He just wasn't getting the opportunities, but he was a damn good wrestler. And whenever he did get even the slightest, tiniest chance, he turned it into something special. And there was a couple of those matches in sort of 2010 through 2012 where it was like you got to see glimpses. God, if they ever did something with this guy, he's mid-30s now, but if they ever did something with him, God, he could be good. And then 2013, they started doing something with him. And in the last 4 years, this guy has been, I would say for my money, the best wrestler on earth. I think he is... I love 2016 wrestling. I've loved wrestling every year of my life because wrestling may change. Some things as wrestling changes may not be to my liking. Other things are to my liking. But wrestling changes. It evolves. It is what it is. I'll always find something to love in it. Even if certain ways things are going aren't necessarily my cup of tea. The one thing about 2016 wrestling, if I'm honest, I would say it's gone a little bit soft. If I go back and watch some old stuff with Tenryu or Choshu or guys like that, and I don't name those two names by random here, but if I watch those guys or some of the older guys from the 80s territorial system in the US, you see hate, you see fire, you see seriousness. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying wrestling should always stay just like that. It is what it is now, and it's awesome. And I fucking love seeing Will Ospreay against Ricochet and all this crazy stuff, and it's so cool, and it's really good. But if I'm watching a PWG show and I'm wowed by what I'm seeing, I'm not really thinking this is the most intense, serious thing I've ever seen in my life, for the most part.
Wow.
When Tomohiro Ishii was making his entrance for this match, I was like, this right here is as serious, as tough as nails. Go on my Twitter timeline. I was just typing out all caps, train of thought stuff as I was watching this man's entrance. He was focused. He was intense. He had me into this match before it even begun. I knew this was legit. He looked like a man who was ready to kill a man. This was a throwback of a throwback, and that's what Tomohiro Ishii is, and he's a dying breed. Eddie Kingston last with dying breed. He has earned the right to that moniker. Tomohiro Ishii, he is that very same way. He is a throwback, and it'll be a sad day when this guy hangs up his boots, but I can only hope that when he does, that people look back on this period and realize that this guy is one of the greatest wrestlers we've ever seen. I firmly believe that.
Wow.
He is incredible. And I think he is there at the level of his two mentors now, Tenryu and Choshu. He is right there with them. And that's my Ishii rant. The guy is amazing.
I cannot say. I would sit there and say he's definitely a throwback to the great All Japan stars of the 90s, and also maybe a little Shinya Hashimoto as well, where the guy just takes an incredible beating, and he just looks like a Japanese, like if someone our ages, and I know you and I are a little bit different ages, but if you thought of Japanese professional wrestler in Japan, what they would look like. I mean, when you sit there and you look at Tanahashi with his pretty hair, Nakamura with his flowing charisma, Okada with his golden tan. I mean, these guys are not like a big, huge, muscly man like our Ishii is. And I think without it,
he's a brick.
He is a brick.
Just
shit
a
house,
brick. You know? He's not even that
muscly.
Muscly and kind of, he doesn't look the part. He just looks like this. He looks like the Stone Pitbull.
Yeah.
It's the most perfect nickname I think that's ever... it's up there with Dangerous K or the Destruction King. It's just like the great nicknames in Japanese wrestling.
Yeah.
God, what a man. But he was in there with another great man who... When you just talk about wrestlers who are just have the it factor right now and they are the in thing right now, Tetsuya Naito. Oh, Keith. This guy.
Just so fun to watch. I mean, just he's always been a talented wrestler, but just there's been something in the last, you know, year or so since he's sort of embraced the dark side and found a few good friends where it just made him even more intriguing to watch. And I just enjoy just his antics in general. Like, I love the fact that he was happy he got a trophy. He did a nice pose next to somebody. He got a huge novelty check from a ramen company. Did the pose next to a guy. Gets the belt from Red Shoes. What happens? He basically throws the belt up in the air and Evil spits in Red Shoes' face. And it was perfect. Like, right there. That's awesome. You know, I like the idea of a champion of a company who doesn't need a belt to show what a great champion is. The only problem is when he loses that belt, the strength to get that belt again, it would be great if he sat there when he's making his love calls to the Japanese media, him saying something like, I want to be champion again because I miss throwing the belt around.
He's
good too.
The thing I love about Tetsuya Naito is how he's a heel, he's a dick. But the fact that this Los Ingobernables de Japón thing is getting over and becoming so popular, he's not like being the heel that's like, I don't need your support. He's still being a dick, but it's all with a wink to the fan, and not in a bad way where it's like, oh, I'm just playing character, but it's a wink to the fans of, hey, I'm glad to have all you guys in my corner. And the most perfect example of that was when he was making his entrance at Corkin a couple of weeks ago, and there was two little kids that I swear you could tell me there were plants and I would believe you because this was so perfect. They were standing there right in the middle of his entrance as he was walking out, decked out in Los Ingobernables gear, and they stood in front of him and they both at the exact same time raised their arm up, did the pose, and Naito just stopped in his tracks and he looked at these two kids. Any other big heel would just be like, get out of my way, kid. Naito just stared at them, and he stared a hole through them, and they stayed doing the pose, not flinching. And then Naito started leaning in and doing his eye thing, and I'm doing it at my computer right
as
now.
As you should, as I'm doing it as well.
He starts doing his eye thing, looking up close at them, and then he steps away, and then he kind of gives them a nod, and he puts his fist up to theirs, and they all bump fists.
Nice.
Oh, it was the best thing ever. And then at the end of this match, where I honestly think the emotion of the response to the match and then the response that Naito himself got, he was almost overcome by it. And when he was walking out back up the ramp and they did their pose as a group and they took their photos, Naito beat his chest and beat his heart in the direction of the crowd. And like, he was welling up, and it was clear this guy, he is so into what he's doing right now. And having the support of the people means so much to him. And he's going to keep being a prick. He's going to keep being a dickhead. Yeah, 100%. Unwavering. Because that's what the people want from him. And that's what's making him a star. And it's New Japan where you don't need a completely traditional by-the-book face heel dynamic. It can be a little bit different in Japan, especially in New Japan right now. And I think Naito, what he's doing right now is, it's a very different heel dynamic than I've ever seen. And it's awesome.
All right.
And so you're going to see both these great men in Chicago. I was going to say Chicago Ridge, the Frontier Fieldhouse. Is it the Frontier Fieldhouse still?
It is.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it, Keith. And it's a good looking lineup on paper. Hasn't got a huge amount of hype. I was talking about this on Twitter the other day. Compared to last year, I've been disappointed with ROH's rollout of the matches and the hype for these shows. I think they got a whole lot of buzz last year for them, and it seemed just a little bit lacking this year. But this is a good card they have for Chicago. It's a live pay-per-view, I believe, not an iPay-per-view. But it's What match are you most looking forward to? For me, I think the Cabana Lethal main event could be very, could have a very hot atmosphere. Cabana seems very fired up for it, but you got all the New Japan guys there too. So what really stands out to you, Keith?
I think Ishii versus Fish, I think, is also another very good matchup. I just want to see Ishii live. You mentioned the excitement level of this. I haven't been to the New Japan. They have not done a Chicago New Japan versus Ring of Honor show yet. This is the first one there. So, like, they don't necessarily, you know, like, right there, that's an attraction to me, is the fact that finally you get to see the stars of New Japan Pro Wrestling, where maybe in New York or Toronto, they've had multiple years of this. And it's not like the New Japan of last year, where you had guys like Styles and, you know, where you had Nakamura and such. Like, both those two guys, I mean, as much as the New Japan name was a draw, Alan, I think those two guys were the huge draws right there. So, like, I'm looking forward to the show. I'm looking forward to a serious Colt Cabana versus Jay Lethal, because I think Cabana does so many shows where he comes in and he's Colt Cabana. This is a show where he's coming in and he definitely has sort of a purpose and a storyline where he's, you know, trying to get that ROH title. So I think they've actually built that up pretty decent, you know. Yeah, looking at the card, I mean, Tanahashi and Elgin tagging up against Okada and Moose should be interesting. I think O'Reilly versus Naito is the match I'm looking forward to the most, though. I'm really excited about that. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to that, and as long as I don't hurt my hand banging it up against the metal of the ROH barricade, which I wonder if they still do that in the Sinclair days. I don't know. It's been a long time since I went to an ROH show, so... I'm excited.
Are you gonna meet up with the other luminaries that will be there over the course of the weekend? You'll have your Adam Summers, your Rich Christ, your Jerome Cusons of the world.
I made sure Gavin gave Jerome a thumbs down during the show, because I was like, Jerome was a few rows in front of us, so I was like, look behind you, and he looked up, and it was like, Gavin, you see that guy right down there? Give him a thumbs down. And so me and Gavin were giving Jerome shit, which, you know, rightfully so. But, yeah, I hope definitely to have a summit of great pro wrestling men and minds at the show. So, you know, it should be, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a whole lot of fun. But, I mean, to me, right now, I feel like staying at the Clash of the Champions where Sid Vicious came out, where he said, I don't have time for you. I'm too busy thinking about the Black Scorpion. And then Sid powerbombed him multiple times. But, I don't want to sit there and say that I'm not looking forward to ROH, but right now, to me, Alan, it's all about this Friday night at 115 Bourbon Street.
There you go.
I don't know if tickets will be available for the show. I hope so, but it's something definitely check out AEW Pro on Twitter to let us know. You know, basically, we'll let you know if there are tickets, some leftover standing room only seats. Join us, hopefully 600 strong, beating the 503 we had last month, to come to 115 Bourbon Street, see Sami Callihan versus Tommaso Ciampa, Psycho Killer versus Death Machine for the AEW Championship, Lucha Libre action, Phoenix versus Pentagon Jr. I'm looking forward to that. Six-man tag, that awesome tag team match with Moose and AR Fox, both students of Mr. Hughes. So this team could be called the Roughnecks. Shout out to my boy Rod Naylor. Versus the team of Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. Six-man tag, women's action, so much more. It's just going to be a wonderful... If this was a salad bar, you would be so full from eating so much goodness. Or your salmon Wellington, if you're Alan.
Yes, I did enjoy a fine salmon Wellington before we started recording.
Not beef.
My dad cooks a beef Wellington every year on his birthday. It's his birthday gift to himself, being allowed in the kitchen to cook his favorite beef Wellington, which he does a tremendous job on. So I'd never try to replicate that myself. But the Aldi store-bought salmon Wellington, for anyone with an Aldi near them, I would recommend it.
Like ALDI?
ALDI, yes. It's a German, I believe, chain across Europe.
Well, it's amazing because I actually work. I don't want to peel back the layers of the non-Dr. Keith character, but I actually work for the Ahold Corporation, and Aldi is also a brand in the States, but it is known for sort of its discount groceries.
Okay, it's probably the same Aldi.
I gotta check the Aldi out and see if they have some red hot and see if I can get some salmon. Pronto.
But Keith, it's been a pleasure. Everyone check out AAW On Demand, Smart Mark Video, the AAW On Demand service itself. If you're in Chicago, get to one of those shows. If you're in, where's near Chicago? I'll go by my ROH double shot geographical, U.S. geographical knowledge. If you're in Dayton, Ohio, you can get to Chicago.
Yeah.
If you're in Detroit, Michigan, you can get to Chicago.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I was just going there. If you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you can get to Chicago.
Minneapolis.
First step before dishonor, right, Keith?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So no excuses. If you're anywhere in the Midwest, get yourself to Chicago. Get in an AAW show this year. When I watch AAW, I would say of all the U.S. indie promotions, it's the one that I feel has the most kind of, there's this vibe with the European promotions right now, a sort of feel of the way those shows are. I don't even know how to describe it, but there's a vibe with the European promotions that I feel of the US promotions. AEW has that Euro flavor more than any of the others. I don't know what it is that's caused that or what, but it's got it. So
I believe we import it in, Alan, for each show. We get it in a box like 2 days before the show. We let it, we refrigerate it and then let it sit out for a little bit. We do a little freeze and thaw, as it were. And then we get the emotion there. But yeah, this Friday
That's
night
the way to do it.
To be rocking, Alan. I am so pumped about this. But definitely, you know, there are so many great, you know, 2016 is a fantastic year for independent wrestling. Support all the great independents. The European ones, much like the AAW, definitely deserve your support. Beyond, AIW, Chikara, Evolve, Dragon Gate USA. Sorry, that doesn't exist anymore. You know, just all, definitely take the time and support independent pro wrestling. And definitely, you know, definitely I want to thank everyone for their support of AAW. We know that, you know, we are setting the bar high with the shows that we've done so far this year. And I think just that the names that want to come in, the messages that I get in, Dr. Keith, help me get into AAW. Please help me. You know, those messages, when seeing the talent that wants to come in for us, it does definitely makes us feel good. And we're very happy with the way the product is right now. We're very happy to be one of the best independent companies in America today. But I definitely want to sit there and say, wherever you are, support independent pro wrestling and definitely check out all the great independent wrestling that independent wrestling has to offer. And Alan, thank you for letting me come on your show. I love you, buddy.
Keith, it's an open invitation anytime. You just have to say the word and you get on here. You have carte blanche to come on and talk whatever you want on here, whenever you want. And it is my pleasure to have you on. Everyone, thanks for listening. I think we're going to wrap it up here, and we'll talk to you all next time.
So long, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. So long, Keith.
So long, Alan. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. ちいのは本当にどれだけ